Bearded. Bow Man. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to an all-new episode of the Bearded Biomed. I'm your host, Chase. Now, as you know, we have brought on Sean before in the past to introduce you to Healthcare Direct USA. But today, we have brought in a longtime friend of the show, Andrea from A&G Biomedical. Gabriella wasn't able to join us today, but nonetheless, we're happy to have you here. And I want to get into a plethora of topics with my colleague here. But first, you know, if you wouldn't mind just introducing yourself for those that may have not listened to an episode or just may not be aware of A&G Biomedical, tell us your story.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. Well, my name is Andrea. I'm one of the owners for A&G Biomedical, and our company pretty much do biomedical and surgical repairs. We work with a lot of hospitals, pretty much in South Florida, and also with surgery centers. We're pretty much the middle point of contact for the equipment repair. Most of the repairs are done here in our shop, but some of them we're not able to repair them, but we don't like to say no to the customer, and we always try to provide the best that we can do, the best service.
And you guys are based out of Florida, correct?
Yeah, we have the company right now for 3 years. Yeah, 3 years. It feels like 10, though.
Well, when you're a business owner, I'm sure it does.
Yeah, Andrea, I just saw one of your posts on LinkedIn. A lot of patient monitors looked like they were getting PM'd. So you guys obviously do a lot of PMs. Do you do a lot of surgical stuff? What is your primary client base kind of look like? What are some of the stuff you do?
I feel that we do both on the surgical side. We do service on the instruments, like sharpening. It's like maintenance for the instruments. We also do power tools, flexible scopes, ultrasound probes. So pretty much a little bit of everything that they use at the OR. I work with a lot of nurses in this area, to be honest.
A lot of the stuff that gets dent, dulled, and broken.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, my role in the company is only sales. I'm the sales rep. And I tell everyone that Gabby is pretty much my boss. She's here running the company the whole time.
So, Andrea, how did you get started? How did you, what got you into the industry and what got you specifically into the biomed stuff?
Well, I think that I'm not here. Can you hear me? Sorry.
I think you're good. You're good.
Okay, I can hear you now.
I think your video froze on us.
Mine?
Just a bit.
Yep.
Yeah. So we were working in another company before, me and Gabby, and then we really liked the field, and we have like another idea, like brand new idea that we want to explore. And the good thing for us, we were young, we don't have kids, like we don't have that much responsibilities, and we pretty much put all our savings on this because we believe that this will work. And we were like, look, if it doesn't work, we're still young, we can find another job and we will see. But it worked. Thank God.
I think you're giving yourself not enough credit. It takes a lot to invest in yourself like that on, you know, what your dreams, what your beliefs are. I mean, for those that aren't in the space of entrepreneurship, it's scary times when you're first starting out. I mean, that especially, you know, kind of just risking all your savings just to go in on something that you believe is a, you know, a better service model for what you want to do. I mean, that says a lot about you, you know, and obviously it's paid off because here you are 3 years later, you know, expanded customer base, and successful by all accounts from what I see.
It is. It is. I remember that when we just started, we have like, honestly, a tiny office. It was like a little room. And then we moved to another one that it wasn't that big either. And our lead tech, I want to talk about him because we never talk about him, but he's kind of like a father for us. When we just start, I told him that we didn't have the money to pay him. I'm like, honestly, I don't have the money. And he's like, you know what? I believe in you. Don't pay me at the beginning and then we'll figure out. And he's still with us.
That's awesome. And Andrea, we actually talked about you we talked about you a little bit on our last call, but exactly what Chase said, it takes a lot of courage and a lot of strength and perseverance. And so there's just so many categories that you go into when you're starting your own business, because, you know, you're giving up that stable paycheck to say, look, I think I have confidence enough in myself that we can do this. But certainly, you know, there is that initial startup period where things can be a little bit daunting at times. And I have a lot of respect for you for doing that, because, you know, it's not easy. The one thing I always, you know, remember myself, even with the company, when I started Hospital Direct Medical, I look back at videos at that place with, I think I might've told Chase this, with like 2 Sequoia ultrasounds and 10 beds in there. And I'm thinking, how in God's name did I ever build that company into anything? But like with anything, no great risk, no great reward. And so you've put it all on the line to do that. And now you're coming through on the other side. And so at first that company is like your baby. You're going to do everything to take care of it. And then eventually the company grows up and it can take care of you. And so you're kind of in that stage now where you've gotten the company up on solid ground. And you've really done a phenomenal job on many different levels. So congratulations to you on that.
Thank you. Thank you. What you're saying is true. This company is pretty much our baby. It cost us a lot of things, like a lot of time with our families, because at the beginning we were working 24/7, and we started this company pretty much in the middle of COVID, which it was very stressful. But I mean, at the end, it worked, and I'm happy with everything that we have achieved so far. I always said to everyone that, because me and Gabby were pretty much, I feel like she's my sister. So I feel that when you find a business partner, you need to find someone that is completely different to you, but at the same time, you're able to solve any issue that you guys have. And I'm not going to lie, we fight every day, but like 2 minutes after, we're like, nothing happens. So pretty much like sisters.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I mean, that's,
and it's
that's
good
smart,
too, because you each bring in a different skill set. You each bring in a different background. And you bring in a different set of ideas, and you learn to work together and sort of, you know, bring the best of both of you out to achieve that goal, which is to ultimately make that company successful and get it to a point where, you know, there's 10 or 15 more people underneath you that you're taking care of and watching over and helping them, you know, achieve their goals and dreams.
No, it is. It is. Now the company is growing and I'm very happy with everything. The warehouse that we have right now, I was saying that when we started, it was like a tiny office, and then we got another one that was just a little bit bigger, not that much. And I remember that the lead tech was working right there with us. I mean, it was a small place, and right now we have these 2 floors warehouse that I'm really happy to have, but right now we're in the search to get another office and finally get what we want.
That's super exciting. So you do repair, obviously. I know, you know, getting towards the fourth quarter of the year, there's probably a lot of PMs and a lot of stuff that has to be done. That's sort of your annual or even biannual stuff, where you start getting all those appointments where all those hospitals and all those places now need to get all their equipment PM'd. So I'm sure it's going to start ramping up here as we get closer to the end of the year with all that having to get done before the end of the year.
It's been busy. I feel that July, August, and September are the busiest month for us.
So in addition to the biomed stuff, do you guys also do medical equipment sales?
Yeah, those monitors that I post on LinkedIn that a bunch of people were asking, that was a sale. That was a big order that I was working with one of my accounts. I think that they were in total almost 40 monitors that we sold.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Just curious, You know, obviously you guys aren't just based in Florida. You do business all over the US, but
yeah.
You know, when locating this equipment to get into the right hands for your customers, where do you find some of this stuff? Like what's the business model look like? Cause I'm very curious, you know, since I'm more on the servicing side, I don't really have an eye into, you know, how does this work?
Well, obviously we work with some suppliers, but everything comes here to our warehouse because we like to be the person who ship anything to the customer. So we make sure that everything is the best conditions. Nothing leave my warehouse if it's not clean, if it doesn't have the right stickers. And like some hospitals, they are different. So everything here, I feel that our service is very like personalized. I have some customers that they even ship me their PM stickers so I can put them for them. I mean, some of them, they do it. And I know that not all the companies do that.
Because when, you know, with equipment sales, obviously you got to do your equipment checks and inspections, make sure everything's calibrated, make sure you got all the accessories, make sure you got a fresh battery in there, make sure everything's up to snuff before the customer receives it. That way, when their biomed brings it in, you know, they don't have to worry about doing a repair or coming back to you, asking you for warranty parts or anything else like that. And I don't think any company wants to be in the position where you got to, you know.
No, we keep everything patient ready. And we do it here at my shop.
Oh, both you and Sean recently went to the FIMA conference down in Florida?
FIMA.
FIMA. Okay. See, I'm learning. So I would love to just kind of get your take on your experience there, because obviously that's your area. That's, you know, your scene. What's that like for anybody that obviously was not able to make it or, you know, might want to go to the next one?
Well, this is my third year. And I feel there is mostly doctors and nurses from South America that they come here because everything that I've seen there is like there is a bunch of companies that they have instruments ready for you to pick up, equipment that are patient ready. So people just go there and buy them and the boots. But for me, the experience of going there is just to find suppliers because there is a lot of people from Germany, Japan, China, from other countries and other brands that I never heard before. So going there
is very interesting.
Good way. Yeah, it is. It is. It was big. I think there was over 700 vendors over there.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Andrea, I know you pronounce it more officially because you probably have better pronunciation, but FIMA is really the gateway show for companies that want to break into the Latin American market. So it's really known as the gateway to Latin America. And like Andrea was saying, there's manufacturers from all over the world. And so, you know, I like to go to the show, obviously, to get a pulse on what's going on within the industry. And, you know, some of the things that we're seeing right now is, I think it's an increase in a lot of sort of, I don't want to say health and wellness, but different products that are there for physical therapy, rehab. There was a lot of products that I saw that were going to assist people that had gotten done with various types of surgeries. A lot of copper infused products that are going to help speed up recovery. And like Andrea was saying, you can really understand how to be successful at a show by walking through there, because you can see where people are going and where people are staying. And the people obviously that were doing the most business there were people that had a lot of product available for sale. You know, it's one thing to display product, but there was three or four companies that had a lot of endoscopy equipment and they were selling a lot of endoscopy equipment there. And Andrea, I'm sure that you probably saw some of those, but also a lot of surgical instrument booths were also very busy and selling a lot of equipment there as well.
Yeah, those are the ones that I was interested in because, as I said, I work here with a lot of doctor's office and a lot of nurses. We do service and their instruments, and some of the time we're not able to repair them. So I like to have suppliers to be able to offer a repair exchange. I don't like to return anything unrepairable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that can be so a little tricky sometimes.
It was a big show.
Why?
And I was happy, Andrea, to meet you in person. It was nice to actually meet you and Gabby in person and be able to say hello. That was wonderful. And, you know, you're such a good marketing person. You know, like, you really do a good job of getting your name out there, being in front of people. Obviously, you're working in Miami, but it was nice to see you at the show. And, you know, certainly, you know, people out there in the industry, it's good to meet all these other connections and all these different vendors and manufacturers. So getting out there and being able to spend time with them, as you're saying, is definitely going to have long-term benefits.
It is. I mean, Chase, if you said that you haven't been there, I mean, it would be a good experience for you to go.
I definitely am going to try to make it next year. I have too many Biomed colleagues, and of course, you and Gabriella that are down there, and just the industry is really booming in Florida in general. So, mm-hmm. it's on the bucket list. Regretfully missed this one, but we'll definitely try to make the next one.
Yeah, and I believe it is, you understand Spanish, right? Because there is a lot of people that are talking in Spanish on those shows.
I do not. You know what? I can order a taco and I can order a beverage. That's all I've ever needed Spanish for.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. In San Antonio, it's either you speak Spanish or you speak Spanglish. And like I said, it's usually to order a taco.
Yeah.
Well, so, Andrea, the same.
Go ahead. I'll ask you the question. Go ahead.
No, that here in Miami is the same. There is a lot of Spanglish over here.
Unfortunately, in my family, the only person that spoke Spanish was my grandfather, and that language just kind of passed away with them. Everybody else in my family is either, you know, got Indian or white heritage, so I did not get the skill.
Oh.
Well, when you're down in Miami, you really appreciate having that bilingual skill. Andrea, I was going to ask you, you were down in Brazil with your mom, spending some time with your mom. So
yeah.
Do you speak both Portuguese and Spanish?
No, at all. That was a trip just for vacations with my mom, and we picked Brazil. But no, and I was having a hard time there, like trying to understand them. And at some point, because Spanish and Portuguese are very similar, but it's not the same. And at some point, I said that I only speak English, because if I said that I speak Spanish, they will start talking Portuguese very fast. And I'll be like, wait, what?
Slow down.
Yeah, no, but it was fun. It was fun to see my mom. I mean, my mom lives in Venezuela and I live here. So we only see each other once a year. And because of COVID and everything, it was like a year and a half without seeing her. And I mean, I work too much, but also I like to try to make some time for my family, even though that all of them are in my country.
Mm-hmm. Are you from Venezuela?
Yes, I'm from Venezuela. I've been here for 7 years now.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'm not going to lose my accent. I try everything.
No, don't ever lose it. I think it's unique. It's wonderful. And there would never be a reason why you'd want to lose it.
Yeah, he wants to sound like everybody else.
Exactly. Exactly.
Plus, yeah, I guess.
Such a great skill. I mean, it's just, you know, I spent a lot of time in San Diego, obviously a very large Hispanic community there, and a lot of time in Baja California. But I just wish I had done a better job of really learning it. However, when you just get dropped into the culture, and I can tell you, if I spent more time in Miami, I would definitely be doing a much better job to really get better at speaking Spanish. I know a lot of words. It's just structuring more of the sentences. But in this day and age, that is an absolute blessing and a great skill to have. And it's one that I really need to develop and get better at. So the fact that you have that is really a blessing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a plus. I'm not gonna lie, especially here down in Florida. But I have some customers, especially up north, that sometimes they have some issues trying to understand me. Some of them I already used to.
Yeah. So what is the goal right now for ANG Biomedical? So technically, you are regionally in you are regionally located in South Florida, but I think one of the posts you said that you had clients and customers in Texas, and obviously you're growing, expanding the company. What are some of your thoughts on expanding your market share and growth? Where are you trying to go, and what are your goals right now for doing that?
We have customers in other states because we work with a lot of the VA, the Veterans Affairs. So I feel that we have customers everywhere right now, and like I want to grow, but to grow I need more people in my team. And right now we're working in another project, so I think that will be by the end of the year when I start adding more people to our team. Because I think that I told you when I saw you at FEMA that it's just me and Gabby running the company. I mean, we have a team, we have more employees, but it's just us, the decision makers, and doing all the projects and everything. So it's a lot, especially for me since I'm doing sales, and like for Gabby that she's running everything here, plus the projects that we have to grow the company or our website, all the things that we have going on. So it's a lot. Let's see if by the end of the year, I start adding more people to my sales team.
Yeah, I mean, as you grow, you got to add people
right
in
now
it.
To talk about our selected beverages for the show.
What?
Before we do that, how about we raise a glass or a cup or a bottle?
This is really embarrassing over here. But
to ANG Biomedical for all the success and continued success. Salute.
Thank you. Cheers.
Salute. Salute.
Oh,
I love my soundboard.
You have everything there.
Oh yeah, I can do all kinds of things with this. Yeah. Let me know if y'all ever want robot voices.
Nice. Well, we haven't mentioned here what is everyone drinking.
So
okay,
I have a mezcal with orange juice.
Okay, I've got Grey Goose and grapefruit, which I went next door to get a to-go thing, almost like a children's cup. But you know what? It's Grey Goose.
You party hard. So,
yeah.
Nice. Well, now, I have mezcal with soda. We have a mini bar here in the office because we try to do happy hours on Friday.
So what I hear is you're taking applications. I will sell those monitors for you. it's so funny. I can drink tequila like water, but I don't know what it is. Vodka, I can't drink it. It doesn't agree with me. But tequila,
I'm
I can just.
Same. I'm the same. I like to drink tequila.
But I will tell you, if I get a night out on mezcal, It's going to be a fun night because that kind of takes it a level above the tequila, and that's mezcal is kind of what I call the real deal. That's a specialty that you don't see very often. I'm up in Virginia right now. You don't see it much here, but you know, when I lived in San Diego, that was the primary drink that you would get down in Baja California was mezcal.
Well, I like the family and the culture that comes behind a mezcal as well, because you have, you know, almost like it's generations that are making and putting this product out, you know, and by me buying this and obviously loving it, but it's supporting those small farmers, you know, in Mexico that are, you know, putting this out generation after generation, and they have already, you know, kind of just found their niche and their special way of, you know, taking care of the agave and putting it into a bottle. It just kind of makes it unique. You know, there's really the only thing I could maybe contribute that to would be scotch, just because, you know, every Scotch Distillery has their own kind of process and their own kind of distillery that they do for the liquor. But yeah, I love obviously the taste, because who's not going to drink something they don't like the taste? Yeah. I mean, there's something you get from a mezcal as opposed to like just a Blanco that's, you know, kind of just feels, taste is so filtered. I might as well just be drinking water. This, I get smoky. I get, you know, sometimes some vanilla or some cinnamon, you get little nuances that you won't get with just a standard tequila that you get in the mezcal. And Grey Goose, I guess if I wanted to throw up, I'll drink that, but I can't do it, man. I just can't. It's the only, maybe Fireball would be the only one after that.
Well, you know, the funny thing is when you're in Virginia, this is like bourbon country here. Like,
yeah.
If I was a true, you know, like Virginian, I'd be drinking bourbon or something else. But it's interesting that you bring up about the mezcal and supporting families, because the mezcal capital of the world is actually Puerto Vallarta. And that's where you've got all the agave farms. And I was actually down there in February, and we were able to do some tours and go kind of see and meet the farms and the farmers. But that's where they grow a lot of the agave for the mezcal and the tequila.
That's on my bucket list, man. I want to go to Mexico and just
eat. You haven't been there?
No, not yet.
That's a month.
It's on the list. It'll probably be, because I'm going to Japan next. But after that, I might be Mexico, because I got to get every Al Pastor, you know, stall and every, you know, mezcal I can have. Mexico's definitely on the list.
Well, if you go, you want to go to Puerto Vallarta, if possible. Anywhere in Mexico is a good place. But if you want to drop in on the capital of mezcal, that would be a good location and a beautiful place to visit, as with anywhere in Mexico being a very beautiful country. Andrea, any suggestions on where Chase should go to visit Mexico?
She travels more than I do, so I'm sure she does.
No. I've been only Cancun. Cancun, Playa del Carmen, Tulum. It's a nice area.
Tulum. Yeah, Tulum's beautiful.
Well, my first vacation was my honeymoon, so I'm not very well traveled.
Oh, yeah, you said that. I remember your post.
That was Hawaii. That's not even out of the country.
But that's awesome.
Well, Chase, didn't you do any travel when you were in the Army?
Yeah, but not to anywhere nice. Afghanistan and Africa. And not the nice parts of Africa. I'm talking like Liberia, Monrovia, Sanaquili, like places that, you know, you don't go to a resort to. But, yes, you know, as we get older, we kind of just want to just like take it all in, you know, before we meet our untimely death. I'm going to go dark there. So, yeah.
You got to drink a shot of mezcal after saying that.
Yeah. No, I love traveling. I try even for the weekend, or maybe I go Thursday night and then I come back Sunday morning, but I like traveling. I feel that traveling is therapy.
You know, with the theme as well of traveling and going to different countries, and then, you know, Fime, I'll just call it Fime. I'll make my own word for it. All the different countries that have, you know, business and medical device services and biomeds and, you know, just the medical industry in general across the world, I feel like, you know, just based on the emails and messages I get, and then, you know, just talking to different people, I feel like there's such a disconnect between America's medical industry and then every other country as well, besides maybe them coming in and approaching us. Like, I feel like we need to do a better job at making a network. That way we can all kind of share information and build a community together. Because there's so many people out there that are out there, you know, they may not have a traditional schooling doing biomed work, but they reach out to me all the time asking, hey, how can I come here to the U.S. to do biomed work? Or, you know, do you have a manual for this? Like, I think we just need to do a better job at doing outreach, especially, you know, to Latin America, which is just south of us. You know, we should have better relations with them I don't think we need to have a conference or some big swanky event to, you know, build that camaraderie and that understanding of one another. You know, we have the resources nowadays with social media to do that outreach. And, you know, hopefully as time goes forward with this podcast and then the other partnerships that we have going, you know, we'll establish, you know, a network where we can all lean on each other and support each other. Doesn't matter if you're American or, you know, Chinese or Russian or, you know, anywhere in South America, Venezuelan, Brazilian, it doesn't matter. We should all be able to lean on each other and support each other.
Yeah, the end is the same field. I mean, the same industry, and it would be nice to have that connection with everyone there. You know that at the MV Expo, the one in Atlanta where I met you, not everyone knew about us, about ANG Biomedical. And since me and Gabby are Hispanics, most of people thought that we were doing business in South America, which is funny because we don't. And that's an idea that I've been having in my mind.
Not yet. But you will be.
Yeah, no, but that's definitely on my list.
That's actually that, and Andrea, that's actually a huge benefit that you've got, having that Latin American heritage, especially from Venezuela. You know, I know right now. So me and Chase were talking before the call about Thomas. With Med Global Group, and Thomas has basically set up a website platform. He's technically out of the States, but he runs a lot of his stuff out of Mexico. And his main mission right now is to do exactly what Chase was just talking about, which is basically integrate Latin American healthcare with medical and supplies and things out of the States, including biomedical, and his network really does a good job of helping connect those people from the States down into Latin American countries. But as somebody who's done a lot of business in Latin America, I will tell you, and you know, Latin American people really prefer to deal with other Latin Americans, especially Latin Americans, well, obviously, but people that speak their own language, Spanish, Espanol, right? So, you know, you have huge potential right now for expansion and growth into those Latin American countries because there's a trust factor that goes into all that. And obviously being biomedical and being able to fix and repair equipment, you're already on top of that. That's already your core service. But now you start adding products and services, and you know, as just somebody on the outside looking in, I would say, wow, you have great potential to do that. It's a growing market. And the thing that was interesting about talking with Thomas was that Thomas was saying that the average hospital, now you have the big government hospitals that are 150, 200 beds, but the average hospital down in, say, Mexico and different places in Latin America is maybe 15 to 25 beds. So they don't have the same budget to buy in large quantity. So whatever it is that they are getting, you know, they have to really make sure that they're getting what they're paying for. And obviously, it's a scary proposition to be in Latin America and buy equipment in another country and really hope that you're getting what you're paying for, because you don't really have the money to make a mistake. You have to know that if I need, we'll just say patient monitors, because you just had a bunch of those, but if I need 10 or 15 patient monitors with ECG for my, you know, ICU department, I've got a person like you, Andrea, that I can contact and know that this is what your primary core business is, you know, taking care of equipment and servicing equipment. And obviously, if you're doing it in the States, you're going to do a great job for anything that you're going to send down to me. So that's a growing market, and you're very well positioned right now to really help do exactly what Chase was saying, which is sort of bridge the gap and start helping people source and get equipment from the States that they know is high end, good quality, and in very good condition, ready to go when they get it.
No, that's an idea that I obviously have in my mind. The thing is that that's a business that the first time you have to do in person. So in my case, I will have to travel to Peru, Mexico, Colombia, whatever place that I decide to start, and actually visiting hospitals in person and work on that. And that's a full-time job that I have in my mind, because I have this team that I'm very, very competitive. And when I put an idea in my head, until I don't do it, I won't be okay. So it's in my mind. I'll probably start working on that in a year or two, but I want to start working with Latin America because, of course, I mean, I'm Hispanic and I want to grow my business over there too.
Well, when you're ready to pounce, let us know and we'll connect you with the gentleman because he's already built the infrastructure.
Oh, really?
The idea now. Yeah, he's their digital magazine reaches to over 110 different countries at least.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well,
very much so in Latin America.
Yeah.
I'm also going to help lead that charge to outreach them because I'm tired of the separation between America and everybody else. Mm-hmm. You know, we have our regulators, we have our creditors, we have, you know, multiple entities that do everything they can to, you know, oversee and regulate and, you know, put guidelines for biomeds specifically, because this is what I care about, but the medical industry as a whole, the days of us being so sequestered to where we just have to, you know, work between one another, you know, within our country are gone. We have an ecosystem in the medical industry now to where manufacturers are in different countries. We have suppliers that are in different countries. We have biomeds and just the entire labor force is spread out across the international landscape. So why don't we recognize that and let's start putting in the work to establish those chains of communication, and you know, we'll all be better off for it. It might lead to us having better support for things. It might be able to allow us to support, you know, communities that don't have equipment to, you know, be able to supply medical support. You know, there's countries out there right now through like the Mercy Ship program and, you know, a couple nonprofits that, you know, donate equipment or, you know, might have different programs in place to support these different communities out there. I want to extend a hand, and I like the idea through what Med Global has in place and then what your passion is to reach out to Latin America. Like, we should be able to, you know, have the system in place to where if they need something, hey, I'm looking for a monitor or, you know, maybe any type of equipment that you guys supply. Hey, I know who to get it to. I send it over to you. You take care of them. Boom. And it's like, you know, a seamless transition. Mm-hmm. Right now, it's kind of you know, scattershot. You have to know somebody that knows somebody to know somebody within those different, you know, those different groups, especially if they're in different countries. It can kind of get kind of I mean, from what I've experienced from people, you know, reaching out to me through email and such, like they have no clue how to get support for things. They have no clue how to maybe get a hold of equipment or purchase equipment or, you know, how to service equipment. So, you know, this is 2022. We have so many different avenues of knowledge and communication and sharing of, you know, our experiences that shouldn't be a problem anymore. So I like the idea of us kind of banding together and building that community, which is kind of, I would say, is almost what our mantra is, right, Sean, with Healthcare Direct USA through Healthcare Socials. You know, we want to have a platform to where everybody can communicate with one each other that is in this industry and this industry alone, and we don't have to funnel through the different industries and share that space. Like the medical infrastructure space, the medical device specifically is, you know, I think the last time last year when it was calculated, it was like an $800 billion industry. Mm-hmm. You know, we're catching up with the whole medical industry as a whole. You know, medical devices, the way healthcare is provided across the United States specifically, you know, nowadays, I mean, what case are you going to do where you're treating a patient where a medical device isn't involved?
Right.
It's not existent at this point. Like we are entrenched in healthcare specifically. And it's time that we kind of build that bridge and build that community and build that communication network with across the world and have like a cohesive understanding of one each other and what our needs are and help each other.
Exactly. I totally agree with everything you're saying. And, you know, it kind of, you know, first off, it ties back in with Latin America. It also ties in with Africa. Those are two regions that are very quickly growing. But, you know, what's happening right now is that you're seeing an influx of equipment coming out, and medical equipment companies are having a hard time figuring out how to make those connections overseas. And so there's a lot of equipment that has a lot of value that's not finding its home in a good place in Latin America or in Africa or any other country that needs it. And it actually circles back, Andrea, back to you, because people really want to know that they're getting what they're paying for. They want to know that they're getting quality equipment. And when your key thing is biomed, that's already taken care of. Like, I will tell you, being in sales and marketing and being in this industry for a while, some of the biggest accounts are landed from the service industry. They're not landed through coming in through a traditional sales platform. They're coming in through the platform of doing sales and service. And then they know, wow, these people do sales and service. And oh, by the way, I can actually buy equipment from them. And when you do, you already know the sales and service is included, because that's really what your primary thing is that you're doing. And with platforms like Thomas being out there to sort of bring these types of people together, like Chase, Andrea, you know, you really don't have to travel into these Latin American countries. They can see, that's the key thing also about what we're doing right now is video. And if you're not doing video, you're in serious trouble, because video, number one, is a platform that gets international traffic. Websites can penetrate various markets within the United States, but that's what I do for a living. And that can be a little bit of a challenge. But ultimately, what you're trying to do is you're trying to convert a visitor into an actual phone call. Nothing's going to do that faster than video. And Andrea, I'm so grateful that you're here today, because you get to know people by getting the chance to talk to them and spend time with them and get to know their background and get to know what they do. And when you're doing it on a call or you're doing it through video, you're getting a much better understanding of kind of what people's background is, what they do, and what they're good at. So,
hey, Sean, you froze for like maybe 10, 20 seconds.
Oh, man. I thought I was still doing fine, and I thought she froze, but I froze. Did my audio freeze too? Or was I still talking?
Wait, give me 1 second that I need to move the AC, because I don't know why it's hot in my office.
I'll edit all this out, of course.
Okay, I know what just happened. Give me just a sec. I'm going to go get my phone charger. My phone died. My hotspot died. Give me just a sec.
Oh, that's why.
Ain't no mountain high.
Oh my God, this ring, it was too strong at the beginning.
I'm feeling pretty good.
Well, I guess that you're having a drink almost every day.
No, not every day.
Every other day.
Yeah, it just depends. We'll see what happens.
People.
Oh, it's been crazy. I've probably recorded like 6 podcasts in the past couple weeks.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. 1 week I did 3 back to back.
I told Myra that we were doing a podcast today. She's like, oh my God, I'm so excited. Let me know how it goes.
Were you able to hear anything that I said, even though my screen froze?
No.
Let's just assume no.
It was such a wonderful little chat that I was having with myself, but that's fine. I'm going to repeat it here in just a sec, but give me just a sec.
I talk to myself all the time. I've told myself that it's normal.
Now that you said
the sad part is I ran out of my beverage.
Now that you said that, it's funny, because today I was talking to a customer and then he started talking, but I he was talking to himself, and I'm like, wait, are you talking to me? And he's like, no, I'm just talking to myself. I do that the whole time.
I think,
is that a biomed,
especially
thing?
Biomeds, at least possibly, because when I'm working on stuff, like I'll start having a conversation with myself, like, is this really happening? Or, you know, I'll just start telling myself that it's going to be okay. Or I don't know.
That's funny.
It's a coping mechanism, I guess. Whenever you're ready, Sean, take it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Just a sec. God, I'm so proud of myself because I'd had that happen before. I'm like, oh, this time it's not going to happen. I got my hotspot. But, of course, I wasn't smart enough to look at my battery on my phone and figure out that it needed to be charged.
Do you have, like, internet in your office? Or?
I got a lot of skills, but actually, like, I really don't have very many at all. But I do wing it from time to time.
Oh, everything I do, I wing it. Well, except Biomed. I don't wing it. Everything else.
All right, just give me a sec. But since, are we still filming right now?
Yes.
Yeah, but I'll edit it out. I kind of know the time frame.
Okay, and when I get the master copy, I'll do the same thing and edit it out. But while I'm waiting for that to come back on, which should be any second, you know, Andrea, you can really do right now. You could really start going into Latin America without having to do any travel. If you get onto Thomas's website and start advertising there, that's one thing. But being a marketing guy, I'll tell you the number one thing you can do is start doing videos on YouTube that are in Espanol. Espanol videos.
I'm not good at those videos like you guys.
No, you're good. You're good. You're good.
Oh, you think I'm good at this?
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure that you're good.
Yeah.
Yeah, contrary to popular belief, I had stage fright when I started this. It took me pushing myself into the spectrum of like, hey, you're going to do this. Just make it happen. Like, I'm never comfortable like standing and talking in front of people, but by doing the podcast, I got more and more comfortable. I think it's partially because like I'm very passionate about my field, so I can just talk about it all day to anybody. But like if it was just any other conversation, you know, I'm kind of standoffish. I don't really talk to people that much. I think, you know, like I've said this multiple times on the podcast, all biomeds are introverted. It's really when you bring up a topic that we're super passionate about that we could just talk your ear off. But other than that, we're not really going to talk. What I would possibly suggest for you is, if you wanted to maybe do some, you know, some Spanish videos of, you know, describing what you could provide to Latin America, just record it. I'd be more than happy to edit it for you and I can get it into the hands of Thomas, or you can just record, send to them yourself, or I could put it on my channel. Like we can get that in the hands to where that would, you know, disseminate.
You know, Chase, what we'll do is we'll get Thomas on our next call because he wants to do more calls with us. And we'll get her right on the call with Thomas and get it promoted right there on his platform.
Yeah, you may not have to go. You can just like this. What do you need? I can or cannot do that.
So all the people in Latin America are going to fly here, and they all want to fly to Miami. I mean, you can imagine nobody wants to come to Virginia, but we get a lot of people that fly to Virginia because they just want to put eyes on the equipment and they want to put eyes on the people that they're dealing with. But we do have one or two people that are like my business partner. His wife is from Dominican Republic. So she handles anytime anything from Latin America comes in, it goes directly to her because I've done this long enough to know that Latin American people want to stay in their comfort zone, and that's dealing with other Latin Americans. And you know, some of them will come, but a vast majority of them, if they can do what we're doing right now, Andrea, and they can basically get on the phone with you, that's going to help a lot. But what I was saying before my phone died, and my hotspot dropped, is that these types of calls where you're able to basically introduce yourself, talk about your business, talk about what you do, that really goes a long way, much longer than what you might think it does. And, you know, I don't know where I kind of dropped off on, but if you're not doing video right now, you're really in trouble. I mean, I really don't know how to say it nicely, because you need media and technology that can penetrate into the world market, not the United States market. That's just not enough. You need to get into Latin America. And what's going to get you there? It's going to be platforms like Met Global Group. It's going to be platforms like YouTube. And when you understand how important video is, it's really just talking from the heart and telling what you do and who you are. And that in itself is enough. And the one thing that you'll always understand as well is that the more you do it, the more comfortable you feel. You have to know that it's a process, that you will stumble and bumble, but that's okay. There's nothing. I'll tell you what's going to kill video. Here's what kills video: is getting a big corporation involved and scripting everything out and turning it into a TV commercial. That will kill your video, because it's not authentic. It's all scripted. And it basically is like I'm watching TV. I want to get to know Andrea as a person. If you stumble, you bumble, well, guess what? We're human, and that's a normal process. So it's not anything to look at and say, you know, oh, well, that wasn't perfect or whatever. And so, so with that being said, if and when you decide that it's like, yeah, you know what, I am going to start just doing some basic marketing. I am going to start just reaching out to some folks into Latin America and let them know that we are here. You've already got all the tools that you need to be successful, because number one, you're an established company. Number two, you're very good at service, and you're very good at the back end of what people really need. People are not buying equipment to get the equipment. They're buying equipment because they trust the people that they're buying it from can help them if there's a problem. And the biggest problem in the Latin American market right now is trust, because there's been a long history of medical equipment companies in the United States pulling stuff out of hospitals and shoving it straight into a container and not doing any service, not doing any PMs, not doing any testing, and just shipping stuff down there. And as I had said earlier, you're dealing with hospitals and places that don't have a lot of extra money. So they have to make sure that the money that they're spending is gonna get the job done, and that I'm just getting this hotspot back up. But they gotta know that they trust the person they're dealing with. It's all about trust. It's all about trust, and it's all about the back end of saying, hey, Andrea, if something goes wrong and I need a part, or I need an extra ECG cable, or whatever it is, they know that you're there for them. And that is, I'm telling you right now, you have every tool and everything you need right now for helping people in Latin America. And it's like Chase was saying, it's more than just doing business. It's really about combining all of our skills and efforts and making it a global marketplace where we all work together and we don't see other places as separate countries. We're all people. We're all trying to help each other. And we're trying to address the areas that are in the most need with the best quality equipment we can provide for them, because we've got a lot of it up here. So the one thing also, Chase, and you can address this as well, when you're in biomed, you know what equipment is good and you know what equipment is not stuff you want to get out of the country, because it's probably going to break down. There's certain models that I know for beds, I'd rather scrap them than put them in a container and resell them, because I know if I send those beds down to Latin America or Africa or anywhere, they're troublesome. We were talking beds the other day, right? And I'm not going to name them, but Chase, I have a very good idea.
I don't feel like having a libel suit.
Yeah. And it's just not fun. You know, it's not fun to send stuff overseas and then there's issues with it, or something's not working right, or whatever it might be. So,
even here in the country, it's annoying to have something back and forth. So imagine something out of the country. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like customer service has been like the main thing for us. we lost money in the past just to keep the customer happy, because I don't like to do a one-time business that I sold the equipment or I repair and they're not happy. And then I'm like, okay, deal with that. Even if I have to lose money just to keep the account happy, because I want to build a relationship with the customer, we will do it. And that even happened to us a couple of times with some companies that they sell equipment and then we're like, look, the software is not compatible or this is not working. And they're like, oh, I'm so sorry. There's nothing that we can do. I mean, that's not customer service. And for me, that's a one-time business with that company, because I don't work like that.
Right.
So go ahead, Sean.
Go ahead, Chase.
So
I was going to say, sometimes it's the stuff that goes sideways that builds the most value, because people don't care what you do when things are going right. They want to know what you do when things go sideways. And when you stand behind your brand and you stand behind your product and you've got those kind of values where your customer is more important than you making money, then they really know who you truly are as a company and as a person. And you know, unfortunately, that stuff does happen, but it's not that it's going to happen. It's how you deal with it when it does happen. And that's what makes a real business a business that's going to be there forever, because that's when they know if stuff gets into the weeds, I know Andrea's there to get me out of them. Sorry, Chase.
So no, you're all good. So I think this is an interesting topic point, because let's be frank, the medical industry right now, the medical resupplier is booming. You know, you see a lot of pop-ups or, you know, companies that have rightly so established themselves as a medical resupplier, either through equipment sales or accessory sales, or, you know, you send it to us, we'll repair it, we'll send it back, calibrate it, whatever. Not all sizes fit. There are some that are doing it the way they should be, and then there are some that are not doing it the way they should be. And then it ends up hurting the industry as a whole, because it disvalues, you know, the services that get provided, you know, within that realm. And then when you do that, it creates almost like a situation of mistrust.
That's true.
And this is not an industry you want to have any modicum of mistrust whatsoever. The machines that we service, the machines that get provided to hospital systems and clinics, and ERs and surgery centers, and even like we were talking about Latin America, you know, there is no room for error. Some of this equipment is used to monitor patient vitals to, you know, maybe see what kind of medications they might have or what kind of heart issues they might have or blood pressure issues, or, you know, to monitor them during surgical procedures. Like this is equipment that directly impacts patients' lives and their safety. And, you know, I've heard stories. Of course, I can't put sight on it because I'm in the service aspect of it, but I have dealt with vendors that, you know, it's quick turnaround time. Let's grab this, let's make it functional, and let's get it out there, grab the dollar and take off. And then after that, there's no support aspect.
That's right.
Good luck getting any warranty, you know, held up after that. Oh, we sent this to you and it's not working. Well,
it could happen in shipping.
You know, mm-hmm. Exactly. And, you know, depending on the situation, that can hold true, but that is not 100% the reason. Of course, that's very difficult to prove, because, like I said, we go through different. If you just consider, like, let's say Texas, and you put something in a Connex that gets shipped to Latin America, that's a lot of over 100 degree temperatures that equipment's sitting in for however long till it gets to the next provider. Or, you know, we have equipment that gets shelved in a unair conditioned warehouse that, you know, they have thousands and thousands of monitors or beds or IV pumps or what have you, and it sits there until it gets a, you know, oh, we got somebody that wants 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever of what I mentioned. You know, they do a quick stack, you know, check on it, sticker slap, send it out to the customer, and then all of a sudden they're never to be heard from again, because I've had the circumstances to where as a biomed, I reach out to that company because maybe it's missing an accessory, or maybe it came here and got damaged during transport, and it's physical damage that you can see that had to have occurred while it was on that truck. And then they get it, and then it's pins and needles trying to get that part so that we can get this, you know, new item that the facility just purchased up to where it needs to be, because they just purchased it. They should get something that is, whether it's refurbished or not, you know, in the condition that they thought they were buying it in. And sometimes it can be a little difficult. So I guess to, you know, preface off of this really long-winded, I guess, yeah, this is a rant. Why not? It's Beard of Bioman. I rant.
Good one. Dude, keep going.
No, it's something that I hear about a lot, and that I have kind of had like a third party perspective on, is, you know, not all third party suppliers, resuppliers, equipment resellers are the same. Mm-hmm. And like I said, if we're talking to branch out that network and communication and trust within the industry, we need to take a hard look at some of these providers, or hold them accountable for their actions, or, you know, have some kind of understanding that this is our standard and we should all abide by it. Mm-hmm. But that will also differ between on what state the company's in, what their customers are, what their expectations are, and then, you know, us holding each other accountable. So, Andrea, well, Sean.
That goes back to what I was saying before.
You don't need to name names.
I won't mention anyone.
No, and plus me.
Yeah, I don't feel like getting sued. There. That's fine.
Right. But see, that's the thing, like I was getting back to before, is like when you're dealing with an individual person, it goes with a lot of trust, right? And so, Andrea, if I know you're from Latin America, you're from Venezuela, and I know you're biomedical, and I know your primary job, and you started off, we'll just say, as biomedical, then I know, number one, you have ties to where this equipment is going. You know what the life is like there. You know the hospitals. You know the people. But you also obviously know the service part of it and the back end part of it, which is making sure I'm taken care of if something goes wrong. Because it is a very scary experience to take that limited budget of money that you've got, send it over in the States. So, Chase, you make a great point. And to build on that, or just to add one additional thing, one thing that Thomas has done with Med Global Group is he's making vendors on that platform honor a warranty, right? So he's making the vendors that are selling equipment into Latin America give out some type of warranty to avoid what was happening. Now, I don't see it happening like it used to, but back in like the 2005 to maybe 2015, maybe right in that time frame there, or maybe even earlier going back, there was a lot of equipment that was sold by medical providers in the States where they didn't have biomeds, they didn't have a lot of that, and they didn't do good testing. They sold equipment. It really doesn't matter what the cost of the equipment is. If it's not working, it's not doing anybody any good. So it's, in some cases, it's worth the charge a little bit more if it means getting the service done and giving the equipment to somebody like Andrea or Chase and saying, PM this for me, test it before it goes in a container. But now companies realize that practice that was happening back then has damaged a lot of the trust factor, but it is being built back up. But it's being built back up one sale at a time, one person at a time. And Andrea, I keep putting this back on you, but you're the perfect person that can build those bridges because you've got the skill set, you know what equipment needs to be like, and you're already in the service part of it. So, you know, for people out there that are looking for equipment, they can put their faith and trust in you and know this is your primary business, is sales, well, service technically, but also, you know, anything that you're sending out is going to be fully, you know, PM'd and ready to go. It's going to be patient ready.
Yeah. I mean, what you were saying about companies doing that, it happened to us in the past. And as I said, I'm not going to have my customers suffering like, oh, wait, let me check with the supplier. I'm waiting for a part. They're checking. I don't like to do that with my customer. At the end of the day, I want to keep my customer happy, and then I will deal with the whatever supplier that I'm dealing with. But it's tough. It's mm-hmm. tough to win customers' trust. And that's why I said that customer service has been like a main thing for us as a company, and that's why it helped us to grow.
I agree with that. And while I've been sitting here and listening to Sean, I thought of another rant about medical resupply.
Dude, hold on. Before you do on that rant, can we do another toast?
Oh, yeah.
I ran out, man.
Oh, my God. You drank fast.
Hey, Bearded Bombay gets down.
Dude, we can take a break if you need to go back over to the cabinet and get a little more pour.
You know, that's not a bad idea.
You can get another shot if you have a shot. We'll
wait for it, brother.
There you guys chat it up real quick, and then I will get a refill, and then we'll continue on this other rant I have for you.
Well, that's perfect. That's perfect. So, Andrea, while my hotspot died and I was talking to myself, which I actually do quite a bit like your customer today, did you hear what I said about the video stuff and promoting the technology?
I want to start working on videos, but believe it or not, I don't feel, I guess that is why you said that I need to practice with the camera and I'll get used to, but I'm a shy person, even though that I don't look like that, because I'm a people person too. And I guess that's how I ended up in sales, but I don't know about the videos. I've been thinking about it, but I feel that I want to do it more since a service perspective, like everything that vendors go through, like to get the customers, to provide the service and everything. I think I'm thinking on doing that, but I just need to see how I'm going to start doing the videos and get less shy on the camera.
Okay, so I'm going to help you with this because this is my background. I mean, I don't have very many skills, but marketing just happens to be one of the very few I do have. The number one thing you could do is, you know, you could basically talk about some of the equipment and just do the videos and just talk in Espanol. You technically don't need to be on the camera, right? Mm-hmm. So you could go back in the warehouse and just pick it up and say, here's a group of monitors that we've just PM'd. These are the, you know, the Dash 5000s. They've got, you know, blood pressure, ECG, SpO2. You know, you don't physically have to be in front of the camera. The key thing is just showing, you know, work that you're doing, documenting stuff that's coming in. Hey, we just PM'd these surgical tables, or we had a, you know, a sterilizer, an autoclave that just came in. The main thing really to start off with is just, it's just talking about the equipment, what the features are, and then just in Espanol, and then titling everything in Espanol and just targeting that for you to physically do kind of what we're doing, which is just hanging out and talking. That can be a little bit awkward and challenging if you're not used to it. You know, I've got hundreds and hundreds of videos on YouTube, and I don't think you'll see me in any of them. Like, I'm always behind the camera, and all I'm really doing is demoing and talking about the equipment and what the features are. And then there's obviously times where maybe I am in front of the camera, very rare, because, you know, that's certainly not my skill set. But it's really about building a database. It's about building a library of content. And so maybe one day it's patient monitors, then the next day it's autoclaves, and then the next day it's whatever it might be. And what you're doing is you're really trying to build to get yourself to a 15 to 25 video profile on your channel, because now all these videos, people go to one and they see another and they're like, oh, wow, these guys really know their stuff because I just saw on a patient monitor and I see this. And it's not necessarily that you need to be physically seen in the video. It's more about the people speaking Spanish can actually understand what you're saying and really get an understanding that, yes, in fact, you guys do a lot of repair work, a lot of service work. And anybody that's buying equipment in Latin America, they all want it out of Miami. Every single person that's buying equipment wants it shipped to Miami. You're already in Miami. Obviously, you know, A&G, now being in 3 years in business, has got a very good reputation. I love the fact that you share those stories about stuff going sideways and you're actually going to lose money. But in order to maintain your honor and your pride in your business, you're going to take a loss at that. And honestly, that says so much about you as a person and how your company runs, that I'm really glad you shared that. And that's the kind of like pride and honor that you take in what you do that's going to take you over any hurdle, because you're going to stand behind your company, your service. And that's what determines who makes it, who doesn't in business, ultimately, in my opinion.
Yeah. I'll think about the videos. I was just telling Sean that I'm a shy person, even though that I don't look like that, because I'm also a people person. And that's how I think that ended up in sales. But like making videos like you do, like also Myra does, I'm not sure about that. I think that we need to practice.
It's a process. So just embrace it and know that initially it's very awkward. It takes time to get comfortable doing that. So you just have to know, like I said, people just want to know that you're real. And I would say it's probably going to take 5 to 7 videos before you really start getting into a rhythm where it starts becoming comfortable and you kind of get routine down. And, you know, you basically always start off identifying who you are, and you always leave a call, what I call a call to action. It's like, for more information, if you've got monitors or you're looking for monitors, call us, A&G Biomedical. Look at our stuff on the bottom of the website. So it's a process, but embrace the fact that because that's normal and natural, and that's the way I started. I did not start off. I mean, I still make a lot of mistakes, and there's just some of those days where I'm just not firing on all cylinders. But I know it's part of the process, and I just sort of embrace it and say, look, I mean, you know, ultimately people get a chance to kind of know you and your personality. But I want to go back to Chance's rant, and I do want to kind of do my toast.
Yeah, I am back.
I really want to know, are you still on Red Wine
Beer? Chase, what do you think of all the videos?
So... getting into the video space was something that I actually kind of avoided, you know, for the better part of when I started the podcast. I mean, if you remember, I, for the most part of this, and you know, I started it December last year. It's been audio up until like a month ago. And the only reason that I bit the bullet and started investing in the sign and the camera and the software and me actually willing to show my face was people wanted to see me talk, which is kind of crazy to me, but you know, it's the part of it was, you know, I kind of got some comfort being able to speak into a microphone and knowing nobody could see me.
Different.
It was that helped me at first get over my stage fright and get more comfortable talking. Cause it almost, I put it in my mind, like I was just either talking to myself or just speaking, you know, out into the wind where nobody would ever hear it, even though I was actually purposely recording this. And then, like I said, it was just, I had person after person after person at Amy at the MD Expo emailing me or messaging me, dude, you got to get on to, you know, do video podcasts because you're already, you know, voicing what we are all thinking in the field. And like, you know, that's kind of a lot of weight on my shoulders at sometimes too, you know, that I mean, it means a lot to me that so many of my listeners kind of, you know, see me as like maybe the voice in industry, but that's not like, I don't see it like that. I just see it like, I just love talking about, you know, what's passionate to me. And like for you and, you know, coordinating that to Latin America or just maybe expanding your customer base, a 2 to 4 minute video just talking about whatever, you know, you're trying to market about A&G Biomedical can go a long way. I would have never imagined I'd be in this position today because it's a...
I mean, I've done a couple of videos.
It's still...
I did one for the HTM week and I did that one for the MD Expo and I think that's it. Two.
You know the biomed girl. You know exactly who to ask about making videos because she was doing it before.
I know, but even at the MD Expo, she was like recording videos and everything, and I was like, Keep me out. I don't know.
I'm really looking forward to when I do get back out to the conferences, because like I said, I do plan on being at the one MD Expo in Houston next year. And I want to do like a live video podcast where people can sit down and it's like a real live radio show. You know, I got my sound effects and I can interview people and people can ask questions online. And hopefully by then, at least like two more people will know who I am. So there'll be two more people listening. So while I stepped away, I did refill my drink.
Okay. Now thankfully we can do enough. Salud.
And
we can do another salud. Cheers. Salud. So you got two people drinking mezcal and one guy drinking vodka. There's something wrong with this picture. Like, I will tell you when we get back together again on our next call,
yeah,
I will be drinking mezcal.
I'm going to step up. Great goose, buddy.
You guys have clearly set the bar high, and I have not achieved
I that only drink tequila or scotch. And, you know, if it's liquor-wise. If it's not, it's beer. But, yeah, tequila or scotch. Otherwise, I don't mess with it. To get back to, I guess, the rant I was going to go on.
Let's hear it.
So with medical resupply, obviously comes used refurbished equipment, which is fine because not every single facility out there is a flagship hospital, has the money to buy the latest and greatest, fanciest technology, you know, flux capacitor, patient monitor out there. And I am absolutely supportive of that. I mean, majority of the equipment I work on is actually decades old because a lot of the equipment in doctors' clinics and ERs and surgery centers, they just can't afford it, you know, because a lot of it's private practice. And that's all fine and well. My issue with the industry is more, you know, let's say a OEM obsoletes a particular model of whatever their type of equipment is. It could be a hospital bed, could be sterilizer, could be a exam chair, patient monitor, suction pump. I don't care what it is. Everything gets obsolete at some point. The going rate within the medical industry is that, you know, typically equipment turnarounds every 5 years or so, depending on, you know, what manufacturers want to push out to the public for them to ingest and, you know, spend money on. My issue is typically when a OEM decides to obsolete a piece of equipment and they decide to not support that equipment with even tech support, literature, parts, whatever, usually when that happens, some third supplier or reseller will come out, buy everything that's left over, and they have a grasp on what the market pricing is for that particular model. And sometimes whenever they, you know, get somebody to buy that equipment, since they have complete and, you know, utter oversight of what that part is going to cost, a lot of the times that part is 50, 60, sometimes almost the same price as what you can go and buy a new monitor for. And that puts, you know, facility administrators and directors and what have you in a very interesting position to where, you know, they have to leverage what they're going to spend their money on. Or it might even be too, you know, we have all these patient monitors and other equipment out there that, you know, while we may have the parts available right now for biomeds to install and calibrate and, you know, keep it alive, how long is that going to last? So you might be selling a patient monitor or something that, while you may have the parts now and the availability through any of your suppliers, it's already limited because that equipment's obsoleted. So I'm just curious, like from your guys' perspective, as you know, you've been in the realm of equipment reselling, and what is, I guess, your take on, you know, equipment that obviously might be obsoleted or end of life from a manufacturer? What do you do? For instance, from AG Biomedical's perspective, what do you do to, you know, combat that? Or, you know, obviously your brand, your mantra is it's trust. It's, you know, putting the customer first. So sometimes I'll see, you know, other equipment resellers, I'm not going to name who they are. They'll sell something and then, you know, you got a 1 year warranty and then maybe a year or two down the line, they don't have the parts anymore. But what do they care? They sold you the equipment. Bing, bang, boom, it's done. And then the customer's left if something goes wrong, which it's already antiquated equipment. What are they going to do? Oh, I guess we got to come back and maybe do another purchase of another monitor or do, you know, sometimes equipment resellers will take that monitor that's broken and they're like, okay, we'll swap it for you, but for this fee, you know, 2 years, 3 years down the line.
Fair exchange.
So that's just something, right. And which, you know, it's going to happen. And as a customer, you need to be aware that you're already buying something antiquated as opposed to, you know, going to buy something more up to date. But my issue is more with the ones that kind of placate it as, you know, a one-stop solution, whereas it's more of a transactional instead.
You mean that they don't?
So I'm just curious what your perspective is on that.
Equipment to see if it's something that they can do. Right? That's what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah.
We don't do that. Usually I have customers that...
That's not good business to me.
I have customers that they call me. I don't want to have an equipment back and forth. If I know that I don't have the parts, or if I know that I have an equipment in good condition, I'll be like, look, you don't have to ship it. I'll do a repair exchange, but you can keep yours because I'm honestly going to throw that one away. But if it's something that we have parts,
yeah. And that's the right thing to do.
Yeah. I mean, why I'm going to get an equipment, I'm going to make the customer, or I'm going to pay for shipping for something that I'm not going to even use. But if it's something that I have parts, and even though that I have the equipment to sell it, I prefer to evaluate the unit because maybe it just needs a minor repair. We try to keep transparent with the customers.
No, and that's the right response. It's just I've seen too many times often that it's like I said, it's very transactional. It's one and done, and it's like there's not a relationship that was established there. It's like, well, we got you to buy this, you know, now it's like you're a brand new customer again, and you know, you're coming back to us and we have all the power. Whereas, you know, as the reseller, as the supplier of this device, you know, I feel like it's kind of like it's not a 50-50 chance, but it's a, you know, depending on the supplier you're going with through medical resale, you'll get different experiences. And obviously I appreciate the experience that you're giving to your customers because that's the right way to look at it. Mm-hmm. Not all of your competitors are looking at it the same way.
I know. Like, honestly, it just happened to us with a big company that I'm not going to even mention. That we did a big purchase and one of the units just didn't work out for us. And they were like, I'm so sorry. That's something that we cannot do. You can keep the unit. That was it.
I'll tell you from a biomed perspective.
We don't want it.
From the biomed perspective, the worst sentence that ever gets coming out of our mouth, I guarantee makes every biomed one throw up inside their soul, is that I'm sorry, we don't have access to the parts, or we can't fix this because of this, this, or this. It makes us feel like we're useless because we can't, you know, get the customer what they need. Yeah. And like I said, some of this is placated by some of your competitors that do this out in the market. You know, I kind of feel like there should be some kind of understanding, like, okay, you're buying this equipment that is been end of life for at least 10 years.
Thank you. Yes.
And at this point, you are purchasing this. After our warranty, be aware that we possibly can support you with these parts and these parts only, because that's what's left over after the manufacturer kicked the rest of it out of the bucket. So, right. And it's very different. It's a very different experience. Got some feedback.
Well, you know, Chase, that actually ties in specifically to the post that you did, which I absolutely love. I wish we could pull that up and play that post. It was the post where you found a wild animal in the wild that you thought was extinct, but it was still there.
Okay, so yeah, I love that you brought that up. The Midmark 75 Evolution. This is an old ass table, exam table that was end of life years ago. But you go into any doctor's clinic, even some, you know, maybe ERs might have this table, and they're still alive and kicking. Very well made table. However, you know, the OEM has since end of lifed it. But through certain companies like RPI, Replacement Parts RPI, Industries, have given new life and breathed new opportunities to support some of these end-of-life medical devices, which is, you know, I appreciate their business model and also, you know, their way of supplying Biomeds the opportunity to continue servicing these items because no one else is going to do it.
That's
but
right.
There's still parts that they can't make themselves. It just,
that's right.
It depends on what it is.
That's right. And so in my part of the industry, when that type of equipment comes out, we're obviously going to make sure it's in good working order. And we already know ahead of time that this is probably something that if something does go sideways, we could get into trouble. But we clearly represent that when we're selling the product. So we can say, look, we can definitely make sure that this is going to come to you in good working order, but the parts are going to be somewhat limited. And if something does go sideways, we'll, like exactly what Andrea was saying, we can do some type of an exchange and credit that back and then credit that towards something else. But the key thing is educating the customer to know, hey, yes, you are going to save some money because obviously it's an older unit. Some of this equipment, especially with Ritter and Midmark, is made in the United States. So the downfall with some of that stuff is that they put a lot of hydraulics in it. And, you know, that does complicate things. But
oh, yeah, that thing's riddled with hydraulic lines. And the worst part about it, when you're servicing it, when you got to replace a line on it or, you know, recharge the fluid inside there, it usually causes other leaks. It's a 50-50 chance you replace a line or replace a cylinder on one of those damn chairs that it doesn't cause another leak somewhere else. And then you're back out there again, charging more labor and travel. You know, it's gotten to the point to where I'll mostly recommend to customers like, hey, it's a possibility this could happen.
And see, that's the key thing is the knowledge and education, because sometimes you're dealing with customers that really don't have that much money, and you can tell them, look, this will save you some money, but however, here's the risk of what could possibly happen, and that's that the parts are somewhat limited. And you know, like I was saying earlier, we're all in the industry, you guys especially on the service part of it, you know what products are out there that have a tendency, keyword tendency, to go sideways and have issues. And when you're dealing with some of the older equipment that's got a lot of hydraulics,
I swear you're trying to prep me to have more rants.
I kind of am, actually. I kind of am, because I can see how you're doing on that mezcal. And as it gets a little bit lower, the rants get much better. That's exactly right. So I'm kind of rampant chasing. Well,
you remember the old mantra of back in the day, things were made very, you know, they were made better. Let's
they
be
were
frank.
Made
stuff,
better.
Stuff that was, you know, was 70s, 80s, 90s, stuff was made to last.
It was made to last.
Which is why you see equipment from that back in the day still in some hospitals, because the crap doesn't break. Whereas nowadays, manufacturers, you know, design things. I'm not going to say intentionally because, again, I don't feel like getting sued. I don't have a lot of money.
Right.
Manufacturers design things today to where it makes them more susceptible to damage. I've seen hospital beds to where they design things to where they are more easily to have fluid intrusion. I've seen things designed to where if anything provides any kind of pressure or impact, it's going to damage something to the point to where that whole, you know, manifold or interface, or, you know, I'm not going to give a specific assembly. Well, let's just say assembly will need to be replaced. And the component level of troubleshooting within the biomed realm is kind of obsolete nowadays. Most time within our field, the biomed you know, troubleshoots and identifies what's wrong and then replaces the entire assembly component, board, whatever. There's the days of replacing resistors, capacitors, chips. It's not made readily available by customers anymore. Right. I'm sorry, by manufacturers.
Right. Here's what I'm going to chime in on, because I want to go on a rant right now too. Thank you.
Yes.
The kiss of death for any medical company is coming in and being bought out by a bunch of people that don't know anything about your business. Okay. So I have seen certain companies, which I'm not going to name, that might have a very good fundamental background in one industry, and they're bought out from another company from another industry. And now you've got a bunch of board members that are sitting out in lollipop land talking about how they're going to increase shareholder stuff, but yet they have no idea of the basic core production going on within their facility. So they're more interested in releasing a product to impress shareholders, to bring in revenue, than they are to actually do true market testing and really making sure that that product is going to be durable and last.
Well, we brought that specific notion up on the Amoco episode. Yes. And remember, it's manufacturers putting out the latest and greatest shiny new object that is just a repackaged, you know, a brand new type of equipment, but it's the exact same internals with the shiny new wrapper on it. They didn't do anything to improve or, you know, patient safety or function or add new technology. Maybe they've renamed something, rebranded something, but it's the exact same piece of equipment with just a new wrapper on it.
Yeah. I know products that are out there right now, well, that have been put out there, let's just say over the last 3 to 5 years, where they had to get them out because they want to impress shareholders. And they said, oh, we got to get this new model out, and it's got to be the newest and nicest thing. And nobody in that boardroom could go in and explain what that product is, because they're not from the industry. They're just a bunch of, you know, titles and names of people that are, majority of them, probably overpaid, quite frankly.
They wear ties, but, sir.
Well, I wouldn't say anything and name any companies, obviously, or people, but because there's not any specific ones, but it's a general premise that they're basically out there making decisions on stuff. I would just say, look, if you're in a boardroom and you can't go down into that manufacturing warehouse and you can't do an in-service training on it, then there's probably a good reason for you not to be making decisions on that process as far as should it be released or not. So to make a long story short, like I was kind of saying, certain products got released in the marketplace, and after they got put out there, they figured out, oh, wow, we've got some issues here. Well, yeah, you've got some issues here, and the issue is you didn't really do enough market testing and really put the thing out there to really put it to the test. And once the end users started doing that, the hospitals or whoever, they figured out, yeah, there are some problems. And so maybe it would have been a little bit more prudent to just do a little bit more market research or testing, or really just take the thing out and really put it to the real test. Whereas I know other companies have pushed releasing products for years because they have found a potential bug or something that might be detrimental to causing a lot of service issues, and that they've held off on releasing that equipment. So, you know, some of that does happen, but as a bystander, I would just say I'm on the sidelines up in the grandstands, and I'm watching what's going on in the playing field. And I know who these companies are, and I see the products they're releasing, and I know who's in their boardrooms. And I can see that some of these companies have people that started off as salespeople that have worked at that company 30 or more years, that know what it's like to be a salesperson, that know what it's like to be at the ground level and know the product very well. And some of these people are people that came in from other industries that have a very fancy title and position, but quite frankly, really don't know the product or what their service people are doing, or really have, like, there are people that really need to get out of the boardroom and do a show on Undercover Boss and either go in with a disguise or just go in and say, look, I really don't understand this, and I need to understand it better so that as a company, we're making better decisions. And when we make decisions in a boardroom, we really know how it's going to affect the people that are in the trenches that are really making this company run.
Andrew, I have one question for you. Is there anything within your space that you think the industry could do better or improve upon that you don't quite, that you do not quite agree with? That what's something that you've experienced or you've noticed that, you know, we just need to take a look at ourselves and just notice, like, this is something that we could improve upon. Like, what are your expectations for your space?
About it, honesty is very important in this industry. And I feel that there is some companies that they do whatever it takes just to get the business the first time. And then when you need service or when you have problems with warranty or you have any other issue, they just disappear. They don't pay attention to it. They said that they don't have anything to do with it. And that's something that for me, since I also deal with vendors and I also deal with customers, it's very, very annoying because, as I said, customer service is the first thing for us here. And believe it or not, I don't know if like with hospitals, but I see it a lot. So
that was a great point you just made, Andrea. Customer service is our number one priority. That is the number one priority, and everything else comes from that. But making sure that we can do that and provide that first is, you know, once again, you know, just such a great characteristic. It's really something that, you know, that hopefully, you know, all companies are going to get to that level and that standard. I think it's getting there ultimately in this day and age, because of the internet, because of communication, and because of the way that...
case, like, we're honest, we're like, it's back order, we just give me a few days and I will have an answer. Like, we try to communicate constantly with the customer and let him know what's going on. I don't like to have the customer asking me for like a status or a repair or anything. Like, I prefer to reach out to the customer first.
I think, you know, just as a business person with other business people, the number one thing that I'm really trying to make sure that we all do, not me, but just companies in our company, is stay ahead of stuff before, don't let it get to a point where a customer has to call you. So, Andrea, that's an excellent point. You call up to get a part. You find out, hey, it used to be a week to get this part. Now it's 2 weeks. But instead of waiting for the customer to call and say, hey, where's that part at? You immediately find out and you're reaching out and you're getting out ahead of it and heading it off. But you're maintaining that line of communication, which in turn then again builds trust. And then it in turn keeps it from becoming an issue, because rather than calling you back in a week saying, hey, did that part come in? You've already gotten in touch with them and notified them that because of the supply chain or things going on, it's going to be a little bit longer, but I just want to take a minute to let you know that we appreciate the business. And as soon as that part gets here, we'll be there. That is such a key, that is such a big element. And, you know, that's the kind of stuff that I think, you know, I know for iMedical, that's stuff that I'm really pushing, to make sure that we're doing a good job of that. And that's the kind of thing where a company has to make a commitment and say, we're going to have a full-time customer service staff, and that's their job. And even little things like, hey, your item just shipped out. You know, you've got companies like Amazon that have set the bar. So, I mean, quite honestly, I'm just sharing this because we're all in business together. I don't want calls from customers asking, where is my stuff? When I get a call like that, I want to just take a whatever's close to me and throw it right through the wall. This, in this day and age, if you're not on top of that and that's not a priority and you're not keeping out in front of stuff, those calls keep coming in and they're easy calls to address. But why wait for that call to come in when you could be forward thinking and address it and maintain exactly what Andrea was just saying, that level of communication directly with that customer.
For us, it's the same, because at the end of the day, it's our customer and we provide the same service to everyone.
Uh, let's take two companies. You have one that has all the resources, all of the relationships, and just has everything you could possibly want that a supplier could possibly want, or a vendor, or, you know, any company. And you have another company that may not have all those, has a couple suppliers, has a couple relationships, but will outwork anybody in customer service, and they will win every time with the customer. If you do not have the trust, the communication, and the rapport built within the medical infrastructure, period. I don't give a damn what company, what state you're in, what country you're in. If you do not have those three things set up, then you're not going to be successful. This at the end of the day, no matter what facet of the industry you're in, our goal is all the same. Our goal is to optimize patient care and to ensure that patient safety is utmost importance. If you're not in the business, or, you know, the ability to ensure those two things, then you shouldn't be doing business. And at the end of the day, if you're compromising patient safety or not elevating patient care, then what are you doing? And there are a couple of companies out there that are looking at it from a metric standpoint of, you know, how much money can we wring out of this customer, next for so forth and so forth. But, you know, that business model does not last that long, especially with the industry. While it may be broad into the billions, the hundreds of billions of dollars, our industry is very small. Word gets around really quick of the business and the practices that you envelop within your customers and then also your partners. And if you're not willing to abide by what those customer expectations and better business practices require of you, and, you know, just at the end of the day, being a decent human being to, you know, ensure that you're going the extra mile, to ensure that you're making sure that your customer at the end of the day has everything they need, you know, just in general, not, doesn't even have to be medical device, just ensuring that, you know, they know that you got their back, that they, if they need anything, they can call you. And customer support is end all be all. I mean, there are OEMs out there that you could call them, you could email them, and you won't get a response for 48 hours. Well, some of this equipment cannot wait 48 hours, period. So if you're not, if you don't have that system in place, then I don't know what you're doing in this space, because this is not the, you know, the medical space you want to be in general, because you're not going to be successful. So,
you know, and Chase, the thing of it is that a couple things. First off, there's a lot of choices out there, right? So if you don't get the job done, there's plenty of other places out there that will get the job done. So you have to really take really good care of those people you do have. But also, we're in a very unique time right now, because, you know, there's a lot of OEMs that have very long production times, right? So, you know, I know, without mentioning certain names, but there's many companies out there, if you're to order stuff right now, you're going to be on a 4 to 5 month wait list, you know, minimum of 30, you know, 90 days just to get the equipment. And so, you know, to kind of go back with what Andrea was saying, let's say as an example, the part now, instead of being there in a week, is there in 2 weeks, but you reach out to the customer because you figured it out after 48 hours and said, hey, by the way, this part for this monitor, whatever it might be, is going to be a little bit late. However, I do have that'll help you in that transition phase.
Our pockets, like, we don't charge to the customer if we know that it's an emergency, or if it was something that we said that we'll have it by Friday and for some reason we couldn't. And that's what customer service about it. Like, think about the customer first.
That's right. Yeah. That's really the key thing, Andrea, is saying, look, okay, we know that they've got stuff scheduled. I know right now that this is going to be an issue because the part's not going to be here till Wednesday and they have cases on Monday and Tuesday. But let me reach out to them and make sure that they're taken care of. And I'm going to cover them, you know, through that time frame until that part gets there. but you're catching it early. You're reaching out to them before it becomes an issue, and you're letting them know, hey, I just found this out, but I'm still going to take care of you, and you're still going to be okay. And when that part comes in, we'll swap out the loaner for something else. And that's, you know, that's, Chase, goes back to your point of just saying, look, you know, customer service and making sure that we're taking care of these people, and ultimately taking care of the patients and making sure that the patient care is not going to be compromised. That's really, you know, if we really achieve anything in this phone call today, which we've had a great call, Andrea, thank you so much for joining us. You know, I think that's really one of the main things that really is going to come out of this is that customer service is your number one priority for running a medical company. And how you do that is ultimately going to determine, you know, where you're going to sit on the, you know, on the scale as far as being measured as being a good company or a great company.
A large plethora of just, you know, the industry as a whole. I think we hit a lot of topics and hit them hard, which is what I like to do on this show. So I really appreciate you being on with us. Sean, as always, I love just conversing back and forth with you because you have industry experience. You know, Andrew, you are coming in from just a different perspective and bringing new life into the industry. And then obviously I'm just sitting here in front of a microphone talking to people. But before I let you go, first off, for anybody that wants to possibly see what kind of benefit A&G Biomedical can bring to them and, you know, what solutions you have for them, where can they get a hold of you?
I can't hear you.
So where can anybody that is looking for what you provide, where can they go to get a hold of A&G Biomedical to get the services they need to make sure that they're ready to go?
Okay, they can reach us to service@agbiomedical.com or through sales@agbiomedical.com. They also can go through our website, which we're still working on it. It's been a long project, but it's www.agbiomedical.com.
So pretty much as long as you can type A&G Biomedical
exactly,
and you know how to spell, you'll be in the right place.
When I create my email, I was thinking my name and my last name, and then I was like, it would be a hard time
Biomedical.
For me
and for
the customer to understand Rincones. So I'm like, let's keep this.
Yeah, it's good to simplify. So lastly, every episode since I've premiered on YouTube, I've pretty much like thrown out a new segment from the show, you know, to kind of tantalize the viewers and the listeners. For this show, I would like to premiere one of my segments, which I've thrown out so many already, but it's the review segment. Good, bad, I don't care what it is. If you write in or give a review or rating about the show, I will read it. Because, I don't care. I have thick skin. You're not going to hurt my feelings. At least until I turn off the camera and then I'll cry in the background. But before I let y'all go today, let me go ahead and get this segment going. One beer, one review, a quest to survive them all.
Oh, my God. I love that audio.
I love it. Okay, Chase, I just have to say, brother, number one, nobody does these little segments better than you. However, I do feel cheated because I have not heard the one that you did with your little nephew, and I have not heard that one today. And when it comes to sound bites, you're the master.
Oh, you speak of acronymal soup.
Give us the sound bite.
I'll hit you with that before we go on to reviews.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Acronymal soup.
Andrea, have the bird.
That's awesome.
Like I said, it's all voiced by yours truly. I worked the soundboard in my favor.
Isn't that awesome?
So today I have a good and a bad.
I love that
review. First one. Let's see here. This is from Sergeant Stupid. Interesting, eh? Hey, if you're a veteran, I appreciate your service, brother. Fellow veteran here. This podcast is good to listen to because there's nothing else out there. Contrary to belief, when this was written, we actually have two other podcasts out there. We have HTM Insider and HTM Online. I encourage you to go listen to them. They have their own perspectives on the industry and really good content. My only gripe is the guy's constant attempts to turn bearded into an adjective, verb, or adverb. It's not a thing. It will never be a thing. Just stop. So my response to that is, you know, being in the military for over 8 years, I was very baby-faced for most of my adult life, and it scarred me. And when I was able to grow facial hair, I felt like a man. And when I was able to grow it to this splendid length, I feel like I have fulfilled everything I need to in life. So, you know, when I have a bearded segment or maybe a bearded sound or
one man, one beard,
it's probably not going to stop. Hopefully you will continue to listen, and I appreciate your input nonetheless. Thank you for listening. That's what it's all about. Next one is from B-Vets Lead the Way. This podcast is entertaining and informal. I enjoy the fact you bring important topics to the forefront while at the same time keeping it light and comical. I also commend you on you trying to reach out to future biomeds and education. I've had a lot of Mezcal people. And educating future biomeds, knowing that our field will be in high demand in the near future. Keep up the great work. I appreciate the salutations and the love and the support. As always, we are well aware that our field is in dire need of new blood, new people, building awareness, you know, getting people interested to want to come into the field. So those are my two reviews today. Unfortunately, so if you would like to leave a review about the show, most podcast providers, such as Apple and a couple of the non-third-party ones, will allow you to leave a review. Spotify does not allow you to leave a review. However, you can go to the top of the podcast where it's listed, and you will see stars. If you click on those stars, you can leave a rating. Also, I believe since we are on Google Podcasts as well, you can leave a review there. Or if you want, you could directly email me at beardedbiomed@gmail.com or go onto my Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn. I don't care. I'm everywhere.
And but you can those write reviews are from today's podcast or from another one?
So those reviews are from April of this year that were put onto Apple Podcasts because one of my main venues of providing the podcasts are on Apple Podcasts. I wish Spotify had reviews available, but, you know, I'll take what I can get, you know, for people to maybe hurt my feelings or, you know, maybe say something nice to me. Either way, I encourage you to leave a review or rating because it might just get you some airtime on the show. So
Chase, before we leave, just real quick, and I swear it's real quick. I always say that and it's not, but you did make a comment that in one of your previous shows that the vast majority of biomeds are in an older tiered group, perhaps. Maybe they're a little bit older, and that the new blood and getting new new biomeds into the industry. And I know you're working with colleges and high schools and places out in Texas that are really pushing the biomedical field. And so getting that new blood is in there. But also the other thing you did say is that it was primarily a lot of men in the industry. So Andrea, you are basically really helping the industry, number one, showcase women in the industry, which I think is fantastic, and also bringing that new blood into the industry. So, you know, I have a lot of admiration, a lot of respect for you launching Angie Biomedical and also really being you know, a person that's going to really help showcase the industry to bring those new people and especially, you know, young ladies that are looking for a career path into this field. So once again, thank you so much for joining us and sharing the information with AMG Biomedical.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
And thank you for what you're doing in the industry to help, you know, to help bring that new blood and bring new people into it.
I'm sure you'll be back in the future. I mean, we kind of got a rapport at this point. like Sean, to caveat what he said, we don't have enough females in the space. The woman biomed, I think we're roughly at 7, 8, maybe 9% if we're getting generous within the entire field in the United States, which that is unacceptable, period. If you look at people that are of, you know, the women gender, they hold positions of director, of vice president, president of AMI. They have entrepreneurship to where they're running companies. You know, this is certainly a space for women within the medical device industry, period, to, you know, not only be successful, but lead the charge. And I would highly encourage anyone that, you know, may not know mm-hmm. what they want to do, or, you know, maybe needs a little bit of extra push and encouragement to decide, you know, if they have what it takes, or, you know, have the support to get into the field in general, whether you're on the sales side or the biomed side, or, you know, somewhere in between, it doesn't matter. Male, female, you can be successful nonetheless, especially in today's, you know, industry as it is, because we recognize the value that a woman leader brings to the fray. So, Andrea, as always, I appreciate everything that you and Gabriella bring to the table. I love having, you know, these conversations with you guys. I appreciate everything you bring to the industry, your passion, your fire for wanting to do right by the customer will never fall on deaf ears with me, because at the end of the day, it is about the patient, the facility, the customer, to ensure that we're doing right by them. So
thank you very much
for being on today.
It was fun. And
it's been a pleasure.
So do you have another sound or another music to close?
So, you know,
Andrea. Yeah,
I haven't used this button yet, so I'm just gonna. Let's just close with this one. All right.
Come on, look me square in the eyes and tell me you love me.
Thank you.
Patient monitor broken. Nurse saying we charged it. Biomed walks in with a smile. Plugs it in. Takes a bow. Surgical table has gone down. Doctor yelling in the background. Hand controls smashed to hell. Taped up together, this can't be real. Sparks just went flying. Equipment slowly dying. Take a gander inside. Batteries melted, oh surprise. Biomed, can you fix this? We just went and broke it. By the way, we need it now. Make the part appear or skip town. While we thank you for our steady work, starting to make our brains hurt. I just hope my coffee lasts. Quit breaking things so damn fast.